Let's turn in our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 13. I want to look at, on the pastor study today, a great Bible truth that we find in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. In Proverbs chapter 28 and verse number 13, the Word of God says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Let's read that again. "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." First, I want to take the first part of that verse, which says, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." What I want to do is give you some illustrations from the Bible of that Bible truth, "He that covereth his sins shall not prosper." All we have to do is go to Genesis chapter 3 with Adam and Eve. I guess the title for this little study might be called Cover-Ups. We know that Adam and Eve were given an ideal environment in the Garden of Eden. Amen. The weather was picture perfect. There was no disease, insects, death, and we could go on and on. They had the run of the place to themselves. They had dominion over everything. Amen. But God had given Adam one prohibition. One prohibition. Just one prohibition. He told Adam, "You can eat of all the trees in the garden except one. You see this tree over here? The tree of the knowledge of good and evil? You're prohibited from taking of that tree. Amen. If you do, you're going to die, amen." And of course, we know the rest of the story. Amen. Eve took of the tree, gave to her husband, and he did eat. And as they say, the rest is history. Sin entered into the world as a result upon all mankind. And we saw that they try to cover up. Amen. We read in Genesis chapter 3, verse 8, "And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou?" He knew where Adam was. Amen. Because we know that God is everywhere. Amen. He knows everything. He's all-powerful, amen. We see after that they sinned in verse 7 of Genesis chapter 3, it says, "And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves apron." They cover themselves up. They try to cover up, amen, what they did. And again, we're trying to bring out an illustration of the Bible truth, "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper." What was the result? When God called them and saying, "Yes, Lord, we were wrong. We did what we weren't supposed to do, what you told us not to do." Look what they do in verse 12. They hid themselves, amen. They first made the aprons of fig leaves to cover themselves. They hid themselves from God. And in verse 12 of Genesis 3, "And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat." See, he's passing the blame upon the woman. "It's not my fault. It's her fault. Cover up." And then in verse 13, "The Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat." Eve blames the serpent, amen? Cover up. Instead of confessing, amen, what they did, instead of asking for and forsaking and confessing their sins, amen, they tried to cover them up. What was the result? He that covereth the sin shall not prosper. Well, we know that they were cast out of the Garden of Eden, amen. We know the man was cursed, the woman was cursed, the earth was cursed, Satan was cursed, amen. And as a result, sin entered into the world upon all mankind, amen. That's why every human being is born with a sin nature, a propensity to do wrong, not to do right, amen. That's why every man, woman, boy, or girl needs to be born again from by the Spirit from above, amen. So they were cast out of the garden and sin entered into the world. We see another illustration of this covering up, amen, covering up one's sins and the result of it. Another great illustration is with the case of Achan in Judges chapter number 7. If you remember the story of Achan in the prior chapter, it's in the book of Joshua, chapter 7 with Achan. In the prior chapter of Joshua, chapter 6, we know that through a miracle, amen, that the walls of Jericho fell and Joshua and his men took the city of Jericho by marching around it 7 days and so forth and so on. But we see that they were told... The next day they were told, as they went into battle, not to take of any of the spoils. Amen. And of course, what happened was Achan disobeyed the commandment of God. And we see the result that as a result in Joshua chapter 7, we see that the Israelites lost at Ai. And some lives were lost. And this was something new. And of course, Joshua gets down on his face in the dirt and pleads with God, oh, what am I going to do? And he says, get up, act like a man, Joshua. He says, there's sin within the camp. Amen. And of course, they go through the camp. And Achan is found out. Amen. And Achan says, let's look at the case here in Joshua chapter 7, verse 19. And Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done, and hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, he says. And thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a godly Babylonish garment, and 200 shekels of silver, and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them, and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. Now, when he originally did this, he had an opportunity to confess his sins, amen? But he didn't. He didn't confess and forsake his sins. He covered it up. He hid it. He literally hid what he took, amen? But what was the results? According to the word of God, he that covers sin shall not prosper. So we know the results are not good for Achan. If we go back to Joshua chapter 7, Joshua chapter 7, we see the results. We see the results. We see that in Joshua, this again is in Joshua chapter 7, verse 24, and Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garment and the wedge of gold and his sons and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? the Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and burned them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. And they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger, wherefore the name of the place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. We see then, as a result of covering up his sin, instead of forsaking them and confessing them, and if he had, the Bible tells us he would have received mercy. No, he tried to cover them up. And we see that his life and his family's life and all that he possessed was destroyed by his own people. He was stoned to death. They were burned, amen. Again, we're looking at a great Bible truth out of the book of Proverbs on the pastor's study here in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. Another great illustration is found in the chapter 5 of the book of Acts. And we have the case of Ananias and Sapphira, his wife. And we know that they sold a possession, and they brought the money to the apostles. But there's one thing that they did that was wrong. They lied. They lied to God, not just to the apostles, amen. We're told that Satan filled their heart to lie. They said they sold a particular possession for so much and said that they gave it all to the apostles, when in fact they kept a portion back. And the problem was that the sin wasn't that they kept a portion back because it was theirs to do with what as they pleased. The sin was that they lied about it. They lied about it, amen. And what was the result? We know first that God struck down dead Ananias. First. And then later on his wife came in and she was questioned by Peter. She was given an opportunity to repent. Amen. You know, such and such happened. Did you do this? Yes, we gave it all to you. And what happened? As a result, she was struck down dead also. Instead of Ananias and Sapphira, if they had confessed and had forsaken their sin of lying to God, the Bible here in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 says that they would have had mercy. But because they didn't, because they tried to cover up their sins, what happened? Tragedy. They did not prosper, did they? No. They were struck down dead by God. One last illustration on the first part of the verse that we're looking at here in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. I think of King Saul. In particular, we have the case of his disobedience to God. In the book of 1 Samuel, in verse number 15, Saul is given some specific instructions to follow. Amen. He is told in 1 Samuel chapter 15, "Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. But slay both man, woman, infant, suckling, ox, sheep, camel, and ass." The instructions are very plain and simple. They're to go and smite Amalek, destroy him, destroy everything there, lives, men, women, and children, livestock, so forth and so on. But what happened? He didn't do that. Amen. We read in verse 13 of 1 Samuel 15, "And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou of the Lord, I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears, and the lowing of the ox which I hear?" Because Samuel knew that the instructions to Saul were to destroy everything. There shouldn't have been any bleating of the sheep and the lowing of the ox, because the livestock was supposed to be destroyed. He was to go and utterly destroy Amalek and everything that he possessed, but he didn't, did he? No. But look at what he tries to do. Again, he tries to cover up. He tries to justify himself. Amen. He tries to blame the people. He says in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 21, "But the people," Saul says, "took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal." He tries to justify it. Well, it wasn't me, it was the people, and they wanted to get the best for the Lord, in other words. Amen. What was the result of disobeying? He didn't do it God's way. Amen. Samuel tells him in 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as sin, is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." The result of covering up his sin for Saul, he lost the kingdom. And eventually, he was killed in battle. Now, let's look at the second part of Proverbs chapter 28. Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 13. We looked at some illustrations covering the first part of that verse. "He that covereth his sin shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy." Well, a great illustration of the second part of that verse, "but who confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy," is, I think, of David, King David. We know that, first of all, he committed adultery with Bathsheba, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. And then he had Bathsheba, when he found out Bathsheba was with child, he had Uriah put in place in battle so that he would be killed. So here we have David committed two great sins, murder and adultery, which under the Mosaic law, amen, there wasn't any sacrifice to be offered. It was capital punishment. He and Bathsheba should have been killed, destroyed, amen. But if we look at Psalm 51, we see David pouring his heart out to God, confessing his sin that he sinned against God. Psalm 51. He says to God, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest." Here he is. He admits to God, he cries out to God, he confesses and forsaketh his sins. Amen. He says, "God, I sinned against you. I acknowledge my wrong, my sin." And what are we told? What do we know about David? He wasn't killed. Amen. He received mercy. just as we read in Proverbs chapter 28, in verse 13. But who confesseth and forsaketh them their sins shall have mercy. Amen. We know that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, comes from the line of David, amen, the son of Jesse. A great case of confessing his sins, amen, forsaking them, and God showing mercy. A great illustration of this verse in Proverbs, chapter 28, verse 13. Another great illustration of this is found in Luke 18, where we have two men go up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and another a publican. Amen. And of course we know, as it tells us, amen, in Luke chapter 18. Let's turn there, if you would, Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and beginning in verse 9, and he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, a very religious, self-righteous person, another a publican, which the Jews, he was a publican, and the Jews looked down upon him, amen, because he was a tax collector for the government of Rome, amen, even though he was a Jew. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. This Pharisee was a sinner. But he didn't confess and forsake his sin. No, he told God on how great he was. He wasn't a sinner like other men were, not even this publican. Amen. And he did all these things to be right with God. See that? He covered up his sin. So we know that he's not going to prosper. Amen. But notice the publican. And the publican standing afar off. Notice his position, afar off. I can see the Pharisee was right up there probably in the front of the temple, amen, in public display, with his head held high, amen, in pride and self-righteousness. And the public standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes. Look at the position of his head, of his body. Humility, a position of humility, knowing that he had done wrong, and he was ashamed. Amen. And he knew he was wrong and a sinner in the eyes of the Lord. And would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He didn't come like the Pharisee did, amen, and tell God on how great he was, amen, and how he wasn't like other men and all his accomplishments and all the things that he did for God. No, he didn't. He confessed and he forsook his sin and he asked for God's mercy. Amen. He threw himself on the mercy of the great judge, the Lord God Almighty. And what are we told? What are the results? We know according to Proverbs 28:13, it says, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We're told in verse 14 of Luke 18, and I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Amen? So we see that he received mercy. Why? Because he confessed and forsook his sins. You know, as we look at this again, Proverbs 28:13, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. If you think about it, that's why people die and go to hell. Do they not? Because they tried to cover up their sins. Amen. In some ways, they're self-righteous, just like that Pharisee. Whenever you try to deal with someone about their soul, especially up here in the Northeast, when you knock on a door, amen, and you try to tell someone about the Lord Jesus Christ and how to be saved, they'll say, I'm all set. I'm Catholic. Or I've been baptized. Or I belong to a church. Or I tithe. Or I do something. Or I do this and I keep the commandments. Or see, what they're doing in essence is trying to cover up their sins. And they're not going to prosper. They're trying to justify themselves. And we know that the only way a person can be justified is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. Cover-ups. That's why people don't get saved today, because they're trying to cover up. They're trying to tell God and impress others on how great they are. I'm a good moral person. Amen. So wasn't Nicodemus. Amen. But Jesus said to him, you must be born again. Amen, Nicodemus. I don't care if you're a Pharisee, you know the Mosaic law inside out, amen. You must be born again. But we see then, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Those that come to God, confess their sins. Know that they're acknowledged before God that they're a sinner on their way to hell. But trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Amen. Then they receive mercy. Mercy. Amen. In other words, they don't get the judgment that they deserve. Amen. Because they've confessed and forsaken their sin. My dear listener, I pray if you've never confessed and forsaken your sin and got right with God, that you do it today. Because the Bible tells us if you do that, you'll receive mercy. And the only way to receive mercy is through Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Cover-ups. In the Word of God.